Hi and welcome to this week's Off The Bench podcast. I'm Gianni Battici.
And I'm FPL Harry.
Harry, game week 23 was another surprising week for FPL managers, with João Félix, the most transferred in player, blanking into defeat to Southampton. And in-form Riyad Mahrez was benched for City's 1-1 draw with Forest, thanks Pep. Nick Pope lost his spot as the highest scoring goalkeeper with his -3 for a red card against Liverpool. But there were some standout performances, especially from some of the players who play twice in game week 25. How did you get on, Harry?
Yeah, game week 24, not necessarily my best week, but it felt like a bit of a placeholder week for quite a lot of us. So I rolled my transfer this week. I got 52, so ended up on a small red arrow. I went with the Haaland captaincy, which didn't come back with any points. How he didn't get a return in that game, I'm not quite sure. Those that went with Marcus Rashford, I'm sure, very happy with their captaincy points this week. It was the Arsenal show in midfield, Saka and Odegaard, the ones having both of them that really sort of kept me afloat this week. But a small red, but one of those weeks to forget, I think. How about you?
I had one of my worst game weeks of the season, 43 points for me in a big red arrow. But like you, I guess I was kind of playing that roll your transfer, prepare for game week 25 ahead. And I guess it was a good week to have a bad week, knowing it was a relatively low scoring game week. So I can take a little bit of comfort in that. But yeah, season's going okay, still on track, I think. But my season, Harry, isn't going as well as yours. Tell us what rank you're on, because you're absolutely flying, aren't you?
Yeah, so a red arrow down to 1,700th in the world at the moment. So again, very happy with that. I was about 1,300 going into this week. So a green arrow this week might have put me in the top 1,000, but I still can't complain.
That's what happens when you take a week off from producing content, mate. You're on holiday, mate, huh?
Yeah, exactly. My focus wasn't there.
Love that. Well, I guess coming up in today's show, we're going to be looking at all the highlights from the weekend just gone. Like, Arsenal scored 4 goals, but Martinelli was benched. Ben White looked quite good. We got Brighton full of XG as always. Everton keeping clean sheets. Liverpool with back-to-back clean sheets and back-to-back returns for Mo Salah. The Haaland blank was frustrating. I guess that's probably the best place to start, Harry. Haaland blanking. Captaincy is the big discussion every game week. And some managers were bold enough to go. Rashford's in form. I'm going to give Rashford the armband. And for those managers brave enough to go against Haaland, fair play, because Rashford, with hindsight, feels like a sensible option. He was very, very good. But were Haaland captain as unlucky, do you think?
I think Haaland captain as well unlucky. There are a couple of, or one particular moment that I think most of us probably have seen now, that Haaland missed, hit the bar and then missed the rebound, which, you know, 99 times out of 100, Haaland puts that away. So I do think Haaland captain is, can feel a little bit unlucky that they didn't get a return in that. But I do think the opportunity was there to go with Marcus Rashford, one of the most informed players, not just in the Premier League, but in Europe's top leagues at the moment, with the amount of goals he's scoring and how reliant Manchester United are on him. I'm not saying, you know, Manchester United not playing well without him, but a lot of their goals are coming through him. It wasn't just Haaland that disappointed this week, though. A lot of us with Kevin De Bruyne in our teams, of course, Riyad Mahrez playing 0 minutes. The Manchester City defence once again leaking goals. And I suppose I looked at that game when 60 minutes, 70 minutes came around and it was still 1-0. And those chances weren't going in, thinking Nottingham Forest know what to do here. And it was probably the biggest smash and grab we've seen so far this season. Nottingham Forest knew exactly what they needed to do. They got that chance and they took it as well. So yeah, Haaland's return since the World Cup. Yes, he did really well in the double earlier. Haven't been quite as explosive as we saw earlier on in the season. Now, with doubles and blanks coming up, the captaincy decision, the captaincy debate of a single game week might not necessarily be there. Particularly this week when there's doubles, I do think a lot of people will be looking to move away from him.
Yeah, and look, Haaland isn't going anywhere, I guess, in our teams. But the other Man City assets that you mentioned, Kevin De Bruyne, Riyad Mahrez, the Man City defenders, it's difficult to know what to do with these guys, because the underlying numbers are there for Man City, for example, to be keeping clean sheets. But they are conceding a goal here and there. And then also we have the massive selection headache. Like, I don't know if Pep still knows his first choice back line. I certainly don't. And as an Ake owner, I've got bigger fires elsewhere. I don't think I'm going to sell him straight away. But long term, do I want Ake in my team? I don't think I do, because I just can't deal with that heartache of will he, won't he? And of course, he comes off the bench a lot when he doesn't start either for those one pointers. So I think if you own a Man City defender, you're probably looking to sell at some point. Would you agree with that, Harry? Is anyone nailed in that back line?
No. So I had John Stones a while ago and he did well for me, and then he picked up an injury and he's meant to be coming back quite soon, which is only going to make the situation worse. It looks like Diaz is coming back in and back to being in Pep's good books and being Pep's number one again. But I can't even say for him that I think he's likely to be, you know, a starter. We saw it be Nathan Ake for a reasonable amount of time and Akanji, and now they're both missing out and it's sort of Bernardo Silva playing in that role. It was Rico Lewis as well, and now he can't get a look in the team. So outside of Edison, again, goalkeeper transfers is not something we tend to do and tend to talk about a lot. The defense feels like a no-go, given that the clean sheets are not really there. And you don't know who's going to start when the clean sheets are going to come. But they do play in what is a blank double game week, whichever we want to call it. So again, it feels like not necessarily a week that we're going to use a transfer to take out a Manchester City defender.
Yeah. And with the midfield, I own Kevin De Bruyne. I think for those that own De Bruyne and perhaps don't own Salah, loads will be making that move. That's a move I'm looking at. I guess we'll talk about Liverpool in a sec. But before we do, what about Riyad Mahrez owners? Because he's been playing really well and justifying his price tag, perhaps more so than De Bruyne. Has Bournemouth in game week 25. But again, you might look at Mahrez and think, I need those funds either to go up to a Salah or to go to someone like a Hakpo. As a Riyad Mahrez owner, he's been so, so good for you post-World Cup, Harry. Are you looking to stick or twist?
I'm pretty certain, because I have Kevin De Bruyne as well, I'm looking to stick with Riyad Mahrez, because part of me is like, I see them drop points and he plays no minutes. And then I think to myself, well, Pep can't really afford to bench Mahrez. He probably is the most informed Manchester City player since the restart. And he has picked up points. If you look at his goal contribution since the restart, the amount of goals that he's been involved in, maybe it's not goals or assists, but he's been involved in the play for it, is incredibly high. I can't see him being continued to put on the bench. And Foden came in for him. I thought he had an okay game. I don't think he played well enough to, you know, put Riyad Mahrez back on the bench. But we know, we've seen it before, where a player is playing really well, like Mahrez in particular, and so he loses out in that Manchester City Pep roulette. But I can't see Mahrez being on the bench against Bournemouth. Again, I'm trying to predict Pep, but I feel like they need him at the moment, the form that he is in and the form that he showed since Christmas. A game like that, he has the ability on his own to create a chance, to create a goal. So I'm keeping him, but I do think Kevin De Bruyne to Mo Salah, as you mentioned, is going to be a very popular move this week.
Yeah, I think some have already made that move. I've seen Salah's getting a little bit of love already, I think in close to a price rise. But with Liverpool playing in midweek, for me, I'll be waiting. Obviously, the Champions League, you just never know with injuries. But I think Mo Salah come Friday will be a move I look to make. And Liverpool have been a little bit more impressive. And I do wonder if they've turn the corner. I mean, it's back-to-back clean sheets. We've seen Salah, Hakpo and Darwin in the last two Premier League games. They've all returned in both, either a goal or an assist. So it's really positive. And obviously the defenders are returning now as well. Trent, an assist last time out. Unlucky against Everton as well, close to an assist there. I can see a lot of people going to a lot of Liverpool players, and I'm still not sure if it's going to be two or three for me, but I'm definitely going to be stocking up on Liverpool. And I guess the big question for me is it Salah plus an attacker, Darwin or Hakpo? I don't think I'll go to Jota yet. I don't think the minutes are guaranteed for starts yet. He looked good off the bench. Or is it Salah plus a defender? And if I do go there, I do think I'll return to type and I'll go back to Trent Alexander-Arnold, as us FPL managers have always done in years gone by. But for the last 12 to 18 months, maybe we haven't always gone to Trent and we've looked at Robertson, but I think I'm seeing enough from Trent and I'm liking those advanced positions he's taking up, where if I'm going to a Liverpool defender, it'll be Trent. So are you looking at Salah plus defender or Salah plus striker or maybe Salah plus two?
So I'm less bullish on Liverpool. I think buying Liverpool assets, and if I was on a free hit this week, I would have three Liverpool and I would have it without a shadow of the doubt. But when I look at my team and I future plan quite a lot with my team and I look further forward, I do wonder a little bit about how much investment I really want to have in Liverpool when game week 26, game week 27, 28 start to come around. I would personally, if it was me this week, and I'm not sure I'd be able to get to it, is Salah plus a defender. And the reason for that is there are a lot of attackers back fit for them now. So we have Gakpo, we have Darwin, we have Jota, we have Firmino. Plus, you probably expect Salah to be on that right-hand side for the majority of games, which means you do have four attackers to play through the other two forward roles. And the fixtures do come quite thick and fast for Liverpool. So we knew they played Newcastle the weekend just gone. They play Champions League this Tuesday during the midweek. Then they have the double game week. And then it's Manchester United in game week 26 as well. So are we going to see a little bit of rotation for Liverpool? I do think people just need to have a little bit of caution about the amount of rotation that might come for Liverpool if it's going to happen. Now, I don't think Salah's an issue, but we saw Darwin, for example, come off with a bit of a shoulder injury in that game week 24 fixture. So again, if you're looking to bring him in, definitely worth waiting and seeing the Champions League lineup. But I do worry in attack a little bit about whether you're going to get maybe a start and a substitute appearance for any of those attackers. Now, one of them probably will, but it's always that difficult to predict in hindsight which of them it's going to be. So I do feel like defense is safer. Trent's probably the one I would go with. But Robertson, he was second for bonus point behind Trent, and Trent only got it because he got that assist. So baseline bonus point, Robertson has been doing really well and is that slightly cheaper price. So if you can't quite stretch to Trent, I don't think Robertson is a bad second.
Yeah, and that game against Newcastle at the weekend, it was interesting because Newcastle go down to 10 men with Nick Pope being sent off. And I was really surprised the attacking numbers Newcastle actually put up. And yes, Liverpool kept a clean sheet, but the XG against Liverpool was really high. And I did think, okay, this Liverpool defence might have just kept a clean sheet versus Everton and clean sheet versus Newcastle, but they're still conceding a ton of chances. And you could argue perhaps getting a little bit lucky. And if that's the case, do we really want to go and spend 7 million on a Liverpool defender when clean sheets aren't guaranteed? We've just had two of them. And that's the reason why we've not been buying Robertson and Trent this season. It's because the clean sheets have looked far from guaranteed. But as always with Liverpool defenders, we're buying them for that upside. And I do think I'll probably end up going to one of them. And then with the attackers, I'm totally with you, Harry. Like the share of minutes, I think we'll probably see over the two fixtures with the Champions League in there as well. I think we'll probably see Jota, Firmino, Darwin and Hakpo, the four of them going for those two spaces and possibly seeing a 60 and a 30. Whilst Mo Salah, it was great to see against Newcastle. Whilst Darwin and Hakpo come off for Bobby Firmino and Jota, even at 2-0, looking fairly comfortable against 10 men or comfortable enough, Salah still gets 90. He's a bit of a fitness monster and therefore I just feel like he's a really safe bet. And I know we'll probably talk about captaincy later, but I think a lot that bring him in will probably end up giving him the armband because you'll expect 180 minutes still from Mo Salah.
Yeah, I agree. If I have Salah in my team, I'm fairly confident that he will have the captaincy armband for me. Now, just to use that as an easy way to pivot to another match, the other area where we might be looking to put our captaincy armband on for the double in game week 25 is on Arsenal. Yeah. Now, 4-2 win. It was close right up until the end. And as a couple of Chelsea fans, to see our team lose and Jorginho's score almost contribute to the winner in this one was a painful one, I have to admit. But they look like they had that fight back. I think there's been a little bit over the past couple of weeks with the results not going their way. You know, Manchester City closing in on that title with the gap getting much smaller. Arsenal then, you know, losing to them midweek, coming and winning this game in the way that they did, fighting right till the end, I think showed that that was a small minor blip and I think they will continue to perform well. Now, in midfield is where we've seen a lot of investment. It was Odegaard who topped the bonus points this week. He got one assist and it often happens that way with him. Saka got a goal. Now, he seemed to limp around for quite a lot of that game, but did manage to make it to 90 minutes in the end. Martinelli didn't start, but came on and got the late counter-attacking goal that we have there. And Nketiah owners can feel aggrieved once again with the chances that he's missing this week. And if I owned him, I would wonder how over the past couple of game weeks he hasn't got more returned, but I would definitely be holding him going into the double as well. So I suppose we'll start with Martinelli. I think the big talking point over the past couple of weeks, didn't get the start this week. And I think people thought that was potentially coming. Trossard didn't necessarily look his best in the first 60 minutes when he played. Martinelli comes on, he gets the goal. Okay, it was the counter-attack, but you'd probably expect him to come back in and play at least one in the double. Would you be considering any of these guys, if you don't have a triple up on Arsenal, let's say at the moment, where would you be going in that attack? Or would you still be looking at a defender despite no clean sheets recently?
Yeah, I still think having triple Arsenal is key, like arguably the best team in the league. Their FPL assets are all mid-price as well. We like that. Martinelli is still a really easy sell. Don't let the goal fool you, Martinelli owners listening out there. Look, it was great. He got a goal. Fair play to owners that kept the faith. But what you didn't know, I guess, that this week was that he was going to be dropped for Trossard. And whether or not he starts two in the double, and I think, as you say, there's a good chance he perhaps starts one. What we are going to see and what we have seen since Trossard's come to the club is they will simply be sharing minutes on the left. We did think that maybe with Jesus out, we'd see Martinelli sometimes play as the nine instead of Nketiah. Even with Nketiah missing all these chances, he's still getting 90 and Martinelli isn't being trialled in that number nine slot. It's Trossard or Martinelli. And therefore, when we can only have three Arsenal players, and Odegaard, Saka, Nketiah, and the defenders are still good options, Martinelli isn't, for me, a very smart investment. And look, the goal came from, obviously, it was a bit lucky. The game was seemingly won, and Martinez up for a corner, and then of course on the counter-attack with no Villa goalkeeper, Martinelli strolls through and it's almost the last kick of the game, I think. So Martinelli owners, fair play for keeping the faith, but now I think you've probably got lucky and it's time to ditch. I would still look if I could get to triple Arsenal attack. I think Saka, Odegaard and Nketiah are probably the three if you're, say, on a wild card. I have Saka and Nketiah in a defender, and I think Ben White is looking okay. I think we did see Tomiyasu come in and play against Man City, and Ben White owners were getting a bit twitchy. But sure, Ben White often comes off in games, but he'll come off in games which Arsenal were keeping a clean sheet in the 70th or 80th minute, and he'll bank those clean sheet points whether Arsenal concede or not. So I don't mind the fact Ben White comes off 10 minutes early. And what we saw against Aston Villa at the weekend, Ben White in so many attacking areas, he's being used now to get the ball into the box and he's crossing a lot. And I think Ben White was pretty unlucky not to get an assist. If Nketiah could improve his finishing a little bit, that would have helped for Ben White's assist threat. But I think White is a good long-term hold. And as I say, Martinelli an easy sell.
Yeah, so I have Ben White as my defender, and I was getting a little bit twitchy over the past couple of weeks when Tomiyasu was there. The subs were getting pretty close in and around that 60th minute. It was the same time I also had Martinelli, so I was watching that clock in every Arsenal game having White and Martinelli. But I agree, he missed out in the Manchester City game, but I think he had a pretty good game, Ben White, in this game. Yeah. Very good going forward. I actually benched him this week and was quite fortunate that he didn't end up, when attack and return sat first on my bench, although he did end up coming in for Riyad Mahrez after all. But yeah, I agree, if I was free hitting this week again, for anyone deciding to play that chip this week, it would be the triple attack. It would be Saka, it would be Odegaard again. Those two look like they're going to be on the team sheet every week. And until Jesus comes back, I'm pretty certain that Nketiah is going to be there as well. So the clean sheets aren't there. If you've got defenders, we probably recommend just holding on to them. But if you're investing new, it probably is the attackers that I'd be looking at buying.
Yeah, and Martin Odegaard, you mentioned the bonus points there. Obviously, Saka gets the goal, Odegaard gets an assist. When you look at the bonus points, Saka nowhere near it, but Odegaard flying high at the top with 35 BPS. And that bonus point system is really interesting. And for those of you that don't know, 32 metrics build that bonus point system. And Martin Odegaard's baseline bonus, which is before the goals and assists are added on, is always super high. And I'm just looking at some of the numbers. You're rewarded in the bonus point system as a midfielder for things like pass completion, 91.2%, 52 passes. Big chances created, he got two. He got three successful dribbles out of three. These things all really lead to effective and efficiency in the BPS. And Odegaard, if you're looking at two players and you're never sure what's going to split it, and you think, oh, they're the same price or they're producing similar in terms of goals and assists, always look at the bonus points. You can filter on the FPL site and the BPS rating, and Odegaard's always really, really high and just a good FPL asset.
Perfect. So yeah, Arsenal, one of the other teams to double. Now, the two other teams to double are teams that maybe people aren't looking to invest in quite as heavily, but they are worth looking at as well, particularly Everton. New manager Sean Dyche looking a little bit better, particularly from a defensive point of view. Tarkowski was very popular. It was Coleman that popped up with the goal this week. A big 1-0 win for them, looking like they're clawing their way off what looked like big relegation scrap. Again, two big results that they've had in recent weeks against Leeds, and then that win against Arsenal, of course. I have in my team at the moment Patterson, who has been coming back from injury. He played 60 minutes for the under-21s. He looks like he's okay. Whether he comes back in, especially now Coleman has scored in that game, I don't necessarily think so. But is it worth investing in Everton, given that their double isn't that easy with one of the fixtures being Arsenal? Is it because, you know, Tarkowski is very cheap and it acts as an enabler if you're selling the likes of Luke Shaw with a blank, for example? I know a conversation we've had is, should we be selling Luke Shaw this week despite his form, given that they don't blank? Everton, is it just defensively and is it only Tarkowski, or are we looking at a McNeil, for example, going forward as well?
Yeah, and should we be selling Patterson? I don't know, mate. Like, we both own Patterson, and like you, last week I was looking at that under-21s game going, oh, how long is he going to get? And good to see he's got 60 minutes. But the big question is how does Sean Dyche use his fullbacks, and will he like a player like Coleman? And the simple answer is Coleman couldn't be more of a Dyche fullback, and therefore I think Patterson owners, doesn't matter if he's fit or not, I think as long as Coleman's playing well and as long as Everton are keeping clean sheets, Coleman keeps his spot. Therefore, if you're relying on Patterson to get minutes in the double game week, it might even be a smart sell. And I own Patterson and I was praying he would play in this double game week. But as the weeks get closer and closer, Everton keep clean sheets, Coleman plays well. It's all the ingredients to suggest, I think, that Coleman, who's a leader and a captain in that team, keeps his spot. And we know from Burnley, Sean Dyche doesn't rotate too much, especially when he's got a winning formula. Now, the Coleman goal adds a little bit of gloss to all of that. I don't know if he meant it, but it doesn't really matter. He kept a clean sheet and that's all Sean Dyche really cares about from his right back. So I think Patterson is probably a sell. And I do think when you look at that back line, Tarkowski feels like a really easy, obvious buy. His goal threat since Dyche has come in has just been incredible, all from set pieces. But he wasn't the same goal threat under Frank Lampard from set pieces. Now, every corner Everton get, as we saw against Arsenal, and we saw again at the weekend, it's McNeil to the back stick and it's looking for Tarkowski's head. And we've already seen that combination against Arsenal and we saw it again at the weekend and Tarkowski came close a couple of times. And McNeil's delivery is so good, he's a shoo-in for the team. But Tarkowski being the target for attacking set pieces at 4.3 million with a double game week, he plays in the blank game week 28 as well. I think I'll be looking at Tarkowski this week, Harrier, but I guess it comes down to, if we're prioritising a Liverpool defender, do we want both? And do we want to be taking too many hits? But I think if you can get to Tarkowski easily, you probably do.
Yeah, I agree. If I'm looking at a defender from a double this week that isn't a Liverpool asset or an Arsenal asset, I do think that Tarkowski is probably the number one that I'll be looking to buy. Again, looking at bonus points outside of Coleman, who scored the goal, he came second for bonus points. We got two this week, again, outscoring any of the other defenders or Pickford, any of the other midfielders. So Iwobi, the one getting the assist, he still gets in there. So the attacking threat, even though he's not capitalising on it, the amount of shots on target, etc., that he's getting, does contribute as well. So not just a clean sheet for him this week, but adding those two bonus points on as well. Also worth bearing in mind that the blank that we have coming up in game week 28, although the teams not playing are not confirmed, we do have the guarantee that Everton will play. Now it is away at Chelsea, which some might look on paper and think that's a difficult fixture, but as a Chelsea fan, it's fair to say it's not that hard. And I think from set pieces, Tarkowski could definitely have a little bit of fun there. So again, investing in him this week, you also have that future benefit from him as well. And we know Dyche's teams are going to defend well. That is what they have done historically. It's what Burnley did. And it's already what we are seeing from Everton as well. So having an Everton defender in your team, it looks like he's only going to rise in price. It looks like he's a popular transfer in over the past couple of weeks. It's probably my number one defender to be buying this week, just whether I have the extra transfer or minus four in my squad to do Patterson up to Tarkowski this week.
Yeah, and Everton beating Leeds 1-0. It's such a good result for Everton and the confidence is going to be super sky high there. And we've seen now under Dyche's two home games, we've seen them beat Arsenal at Goodison and then beat Leeds. And I think they'll keep plenty clean sheets. Will they be free flowing and score many? Probably not. And that's why even with McNeil's set piece threat and he's 5.1 midfielder, I still don't think I'll be looking at any Everton midfielders or forwards. I think it is simply the defence or no one. And that's purely comes down to there's so many other good midfielders in the game to compete. Leeds were disappointed, Harry. Leeds didn't have a shot on target in the game. Really disappointing there for what was kind of a six-pointer on paper. So yeah, Everton fairly comfortable.
Yeah, just to touch on Leeds, I know a few people, again, with the blank, I have Greenwood in my team and he's played between 1 and I think about 7 minutes for the past 10 games or whatever it is. If you look at his point scoring in FPL, every week it's just 1-1-1-1. I was looking at potentially upgrading him to the likes of Nyonto as a similar price, again, a cheap forward that I could get there, but haven't been massively impressed with them, although he does feel like the one that I would buy if I was looking for that cheap forward this week. When Leeds do go forward, he is heavily involved. He's one of the most sort of flair players that Leeds have in at the moment. I just don't know whether, again, a single game week at home to Southampton just coming off the back of a win against Chelsea, don't know necessarily if I do want to go there. We have looked at it for a while. People are buying Nyonto a few weeks ago as an okay fixture for the blank game week. But you're happy with Bamford for this week? You planning on keeping him, presumably because it's a blank?
I think I'd probably keep him. I mean, you could upgrade to someone like a Darwin. I'll be looking to see if Darwin's flag comes off and his Champions League involvement. But I think knowing it's Leeds at home to Southampton, that was always a fixture I really, really liked. He probably gets another week or two, but he's been disappointing. I brought him in for the double as so many looked at Leeds for the double game week a couple of weeks ago. And he did all right. He got me, I think, 7 points in the double. But it's an interesting one. I think we're at a time now where we're looking at so many teams, perhaps good players from good teams, thinking, do we hold or do we sell? And the blank game weeks play a big part in that. Obviously, this game week coming up, we've got four teams doubling. We've spoken a lot about their players, but we also have United, Newcastle, Brentford and Brighton all blanking. So it's really interesting to see what we're going to do with their assets, because Man United at the weekend, another really good win versus Leicester. My plan was always to sell my United players ahead of this blank, other than Rashford. Of course, Rashford's staying long term. But I was happy to sell Bruno last week, and I was going to be happy to sell Shaw this week. But Shaw, again, just shy of the bonus, a clean sheet, looks really, really good at the moment, as do United's defence. And I think Luke Shaw has to fall now into the similar boat to Rashford, where I just want to keep him long term. So I think I'll be holding Luke Shaw. What's your take on Shaw, Harry?
So I still fall into the camp where I think I'm likely to sell Luke Shaw this week, just because the blank this week. And again, it's that game week 26 fixture of Liverpool versus Manchester United that I find quite difficult to call. And I think it's why I may be slightly anxious to go completely piling into Liverpool this week, knowing that I'll have to field two or three of them against Manchester United, who are performing so well next week. And then again, with Shaw, I don't particularly back them for a clean sheet in that fixture as well, particularly with Manchester United being away from home in that one. I do think I'll sell Shaw. I don't think it's necessarily a priority sell, but I just think planning with my team long term, if I could get to Trent, for example, if I can add an extra player going into this week, it works quite well. And he is probably the more expensive of the defenders that I've got in my squad at the moment that I'm happy to sell. The only other one that I could move on, I don't think I'm going to do it, is Kieran Trippier. Now, Newcastle, without Bruno Guimaraes, haven't looked that great defensively. I think when he comes back, they will continue to look a little bit better than they have over the past couple of weeks. But he also has that blank fixture going into game week 25 as well. So I have a choice to make between, do I sell Kieran Trippier or do I sell Luke Shaw? And for me, I think the historic performances from Trippier this season means that he's the one that's going to stay.
Yeah, I'm guessing you need the money where you couldn't consider selling Patterson instead, because you kind of want the money out of Shaw or Trippier. I've got a few million in the bank. I own Shaw, Trippier and Patterson, and Patterson just becomes the easier sell because money's not an issue for me at the moment. But yeah, perhaps for you it is, especially if you're targeting, say, a Liverpool defender or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. What about your Newcastle assets then? So we've mentioned Trippier. If you have any Newcastle midfielders, you know, some have Almiron or forwards and some still have Callum Wilson. For me, Newcastle players, other than Trippier, are kind of all a sell at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I do think if you've got double defence, for example, you've got a Botman and you want to wait to see exactly how they do when they come back with Bruno Guimaraes in the team, then that's fine. But the issue is they do walk into, after the blank, into a game week 26 fixture away at Manchester City as well. So it's not just looking at the blank, it's looking again at the week after, which isn't ideal. So you are looking at a couple of weeks where they're not going to be scoring you any points this week, of course, with the blank. But next week, you probably wouldn't expect that much from the likes of Botman either. So I agree, Trippier is absolutely fine to hold. But outside of him, Almiron, the returns have really dried up for him since the sort of restart, since Christmas, defensively as well over the past couple of weeks. There are a lot of good cheap defenders as well, particularly as we've mentioned with Everton, for example. Moving Botman to Tarkowski this week feels like quite a sensible transfer to me. So outside of Trippier, I would be probably looking to sell. And it's an easy route to go and get other double game week players this week as well.
Yeah. We haven't spoken about Brighton. I mean, they were so good at the weekend and they lost 1-0. That was another smash and grab from Fulham. What do we think with Brighton assets? Because they blank this week and because they've not had double game weeks and other teams have had double game weeks, we've not really been buying Brighton players. Like, considering how good they've been, we've not really been stocking up. Yes, Matoma's got a little bit of love, but with a blank this week, but then they do double in game week 27. I think we're going to get to that double in 27 and many teams will only have one or no Brighton players, but the likes of Estupian and the three midfielders, McAllister now playing in the 10, but then obviously Matoma and March. I think those four players are all really good options moving forward and perhaps long term. And when you look at the XG numbers Brighton are putting up every game, like they're always hitting around two or even more than that against good opposition as well. Are you looking at Brighton players? Because I own Solly March and it was really frustrating this week because they missed so many big chances and March was central to absolutely everything. His assist threat's really high, but now also in this De Zerbi system, his goal threat super high. I think Matoma's, rightly so, got a lot of attention, but Solly March is a very good FPL option too, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, they fall into a similar bracket with Brentford, both teams blanking this week and then having that double coming in game week 27 as well. So of course, I don't plan on bringing one into my team this week, but I need to have a plan from 26 and into 27 of how I'm going to get not just Brighton assets but Brentford as well, because they are also a team performing very well this season. Brighton, again, I do look in midfield. It is probably Matoma just about over March. I think looking at the performances, March has done really well. And if you've got him, I would not have an issue with him. McAllister is an interesting one, likely to be on penalties as well. We've seen that from him so far this season, but it probably would still be Matoma. Now, Estupinan in defence was the one that I would look at there. Attacking threat, really nice. Looked like he's picked up a slight injury going into the game week 24 fixture. So whether he's back by game week 25, it has been reported that it's a minor injury, but we'll have to wait and see on him. He was the other one that I'm looking at. They look really good, and I have held off investing them until game week 25 because of this blank. And maybe that was a mistake because people have cashed in their points over the past few weeks. But when game week 26 comes around, I think Brighton will be pretty top priority transfers in for me.
Yeah, what do you make of Spurs, Harry? 2-0 win against West Ham on Sunday. Harry Kane owners, they got an assist, they got 5 points, and he's ticking along nicely, but perhaps not the most explosive. There will be loads looking at how they can accommodate Mo Salah this week, and Harry Kane owners will probably have the dilemma of, to get Mo Salah into my team, I might have to sell a Harry Kane. Do you think that's a transfer we'll see? Obviously, it requires two and possibly some four-point hits, but Harry Kane for me would be a sell if you can't get to Mo Salah easily. And I think those that own Harry Kane, assuming they have Haaland too, probably therefore don't have a De Bruyne or a Bruno to make that switch to Salah. So would you sell Kane to get Salah in?
Yeah, so Kane is an interesting one. And I think since Bentancur has been injured, I was expecting when it was 0-0 at half time, I was thinking, okay, without Bentancur, they're not necessarily looking it. But second half Spurs, they do look a lot better in the second half. They did come out with a 2-0 win. Now, I have Harry Kane in my team, and I do think it boils down to Harry Kane is a great asset. And I think from game week 26 onwards, we will be talking again about how we're having him in our team. But it's very, very difficult to have the optimal and the sort of best two or three Liverpool assets in your team for this week if you do decide to keep Harry Kane. Now, of course, they do have Chelsea this week as well. Read into that fixture, as we've said, as much as you want. But it is an easy way. You could go Harry Kane, downgrade to the likes of Nyonto, even to Darwin if he's fit. Now, I think it will play a lot depending on whether Darwin is going to be available for all of game week 25 in the double or not. If he's not available, then I think less people may look to sell Harry Kane because it would be a double transfer. It would be a hit to go and get one of the midfielders in. However, if Darwin is going to be available, then I think Harry Kane down to Darwin, it frees up a bit of money. You add the double game week player, I think that will be popular. So I'm waiting to see on the fitness of Darwin before I decide on what to do with Harry Kane this week.
Yeah, I guess tune into the FPL pod on Wednesday this week, where I'm sure Sam will have some thoughts on her boy Harry Kane. Interesting to see what she'll be doing and how she targets someone like Mo Salah. What are your thoughts for the week coming then, Harry? Like, how many transfers do you think you'll make? Where are you looking for captaincy? I mean, I'm not going to be making any moves until Thursday, Friday because of European football this week. And again, I'll be eye test scouting Liverpool in the Champions League. And I think what we see in that game will, as always, will be really important for our FPL moves.
Yeah, I'm planning a minus four at the moment going into this week. And I think it's not going to be that uncommon that people, even when they've got two free transfers like me, go and add an extra one in. When you've got the likes of Patterson, maybe Bueno of Wolves, who doesn't look necessarily nailed to play both games, you've got Greenwood in there as well. So I've got a few issues in my team. I'm currently planning on doing that De Bruyne to Salah move. I think Salah is the most likely of those Liverpool attackers to play in both games in the double. Now that will need a little bit of money to do the transfers there. I also plan on upgrading Greenwood to Nyonto, and to do those two moves, I'll have to downgrade Luke Shaw. And I think Shaw to Tarkowski will be the move that I do to free up the money for De Bruyne up to Mo Salah and Greenwood up to Nyonto of Leeds as well in there. So not nailed. Again, if Darwin is fit and available, that Harry Kane to Darwin move will start to become very, very appealing, and I'll find it difficult to look away from him. But at the moment, that would only give me one Liverpool asset in my team. It would have no second attacker, and it would have no defender as well, which does concern me a little bit, but I do feel like it sets me up better going forward.
I would love to have a punt on Darwin, but with him being flagged, and he's been flagged a few times this season, and with Jota coming back, and obviously Firmino and Hakpo in there as well, knowing it's Mo Salah plus two, and there's four good players competing for two spots, I do think Darwin is first choice. But I do think he'll miss a lot of minutes and share a lot of minutes. And it's been interesting to see him playing on the left because I think he's looked better on the left. We've seen Hakpo central, Salah right, Darwin left in the last few weeks, and it's worked. But I also think Jota could come in and play that role really well. And we know Klopp likes Jota. So it'll be interesting to see how much time and love he puts into Hakpo playing in that false nine role. And therefore, when Jota's playing, if he's often playing on the left or central. But Darwin's X minutes are the bit that gets me. In a double game week, am I expecting him to get 140 minutes plus? Probably not. Whilst Mo Salah and Trent and Robbo, you're expecting 180. But then I question, does Darwin need 140 minutes plus, he gets so many big chances that if you get 120, 130 out of Darwin, you're probably relatively happy because the chances are there. If he's starting to convert them, which we're now seeing, he's going to be a really good FPL option. He's 8.7 million. I'm certainly thinking about Darwin, but I just think the security of minutes probably points in the direction of a Trent Alexander-Arnold or a Robertson.
Are those your planned transfers in then? You going in defence?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'll be selling Patterson with a heavy heart because I've kept him for a long time targeting this double game week. And obviously, I just think the way Coleman's playing and Everton are playing, I don't expect Patterson to be starting football matches in the Premier League. So Trent to Patterson, and I've got the money to do that, and then KDB to Salah. That's my two free transfers. If I take a four-point hit, I could go Bamford out to a Liverpool forward, maybe Darwin. Or it could be, as you mentioned, a Luke Shaw down to a Tarkowski and you just go for the minutes. And it's a shame because I have no doubt I'll be looking to buy Luke Shaw back if I do sell him. And I'm still really on the fence with that one. The fixtures aren't great for United, but he's been so, so good. And obviously, like many, I've got value tied up in Luke Shaw, a little bit of value, knowing he's been jumping in price since I've owned him. But yeah, at the moment, it's target double Liverpool. And I think two will be enough for me. I think two will end up being enough. And then possibly Tarkowski. I just like those minutes there. But I've got a fair few players that I'm reluctant to sell this game week. So I'm not sure I'm going to get 11 out. If I sell Luke Shaw, I'll get 11 out if they're all fit. But if not, it will be a 10-man team for me. And I do think a good 10 players is okay for the game week ahead. You know, Solly March and Rashford and Trippier don't have fixtures. I'm happy keeping them. I'm very happy keeping them. So yes, it's a double game week and a blank game week. And often we beeline to those fixtures and make all of our moves just for that 1 week. But don't forget, there'll be lots of blanks and lots of doubles to navigate in the coming weeks. So don't be too trigger happy with your hits. I think minus fours are fine, but I'm seeing some managers discussing minus eights and 12s to get the optimal team out for 25. And I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah, no, I agree. Again, I don't think you necessarily need 11 if you're covering the sort of key players as well. One final question before you wrap up. Is it a Mo Salah captaincy? Are we going back there after the many weeks that we all may have had him and he didn't get the returns? Is it time for Mo Salah to be back in our teams and back captain as well? Or is it going to be on the likes of Saka or Odegaard that we've mentioned?
Yeah, it's definitely one to consider this week, Harry, captaincy. I think Salah, for those that own him, will be going there. But I don't think we can look past, or I don't think we can forget how good Saka has been of late. Saka obviously plays Leicester and Everton. They're two relatively good fixtures. I know Arsenal did just struggle against Everton at Goodison Park, but this fixture's in London, I think, will be very different. Arsenal have been conceding goals, but they still look like they're going to score goals. So I think Saka will get a little bit of love, but I think I'll end up going for Mo Salah, who plays Crystal Palace and Wolves. I expect 180 minutes from him. Both these guys have the penalty appeal, but I think I'll go Salah. It's a bit more of a nostalgic pick as well. There was a time when we just had Salah as our set and forget captain, and Haaland has changed that, and the way Liverpool have been playing of late has changed that. But I look forward to giving Mo the armband again, I think.
Yeah, back in the good old days when we captained Salah every week. So yeah, it'd be nice to be going back there, and I think I'll probably end up doing the same. It does feel like we have a lot to wait on, though. For example, the Darwin injury, getting closer to whether Patterson's going to play. So although we've got, you know, a lot to think about with our teams, a lot of transfers that we've mentioned, there is still a lot of planning to do with four teams playing twice, four teams blanking, and 12 teams having a single game week. There is a lot of moving parts going into game week 25. It is a week that we have been planning for a while. Kelly, Sam and Jules will be back with the FPL pod on Wednesday this week to have a deeper look into the double and blank of game week 25, the players to buy, hopefully an update for you on Darwin Nunez, and exactly how many players we do need going into these blank game week as well. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great week.